everybody, wherever you are. And Cead Míle Fáilte, you're very welcome to our History and Community Programme, which is brought to you by Dublin North Bay Tourism, on a weekly basis here on Near 90.3 FM, and also available worldwide on the web at near.ie. I'm Dennis McIntyre, and the whole idea of this programme is to, if you like, awaken people to community and the history within their community. And in our case, we're talking about the North Dublin Bay area, from the Custom House area to Howth Head. And when we talk about history, we're talking about, you know, we're talking about national history, local history, physical history, social history, religious history, literary history, economic history, cultural history. So it's a wide field, and even throw in what our subject is the last week and this week, nostalgia and folklore, all comes under the history bracket. So the programmes are meant to be for, with, to and by you, the people, the listeners, and we'd like a contribution from anybody who would have something they'd like reviewed, comment to make on what we present, some new fact or whatever. We're always available and delighted to take comments and contributions and so on. And I'd say anybody with a, you know, a magazine, a book or whatever to review, we'd be concerning the area, we'd be delighted to do so. And for any communication, our email address is Dublin North Bay Tourism, and that's all one word, Dublin North Bay Tourism at gmail.com. Our post address, although little used nowadays, is 32 Howth Road, and that's Clontarf, Dublin 3. And our website is www.dublinnorthbaytourism.com. And I usually start off with some anniversaries, and be they birthdays or death days, if you like, death anniversaries, just to put some context with the history of the country in general. And we pick out some sort of well-known or famous people who either were born or passed away in the week since our last programme. And Patriot and Orator Henry Grattan died on June the 4th, 1820. Born in Dublin, Grattan is remembered for Grattan's Parliament, which gained considerable legislative freedom from Britain in the 1780s, albeit his Parliament represented the minority Protestant population. Lord Edward Fitzgerald, he died in Newgate Prison on June the 4th, 1789. Now, Lord Edward was a member of the famous Anglo-Irish family from County Kildare, and he became an MP, and he later joined the United Irishmen because he believed and aimed for an independent Irish Republic. But he was betrayed by the traitor, the infamous sham squire Francis Higgins, and captured, and ended up dying in jail from gunshot wounds. Now, Margaret Ann Cusick, better known as the Nun of Kinmare, she died on June the 5th, 1899. Born an Anglican in Dublin, she became a Catholic and joined the Irish Poor Clare Sisters in 1860, but later founded the Sisters of Peace. She wrote some biographies and local history. Now, the famous war correspondent and author, some claim the greatest of all the war correspondents, particularly in reference to the Second World War, his name was Cornelius Ryan, a Dubliner, and he was born on June the 5th, 1920. Now, he wrote for the Daily Telegraph, Time, that's Time of New York, Collins Magazine, and Reader's Digest. He wrote many books, but the one most recalled, and the one that made him a millionaire, was a book called The Longest Day, published in 1959, and it concerns the D-Day invasion of Normandy on June the 6th, 1944, which was a major turning point, as you all know, in World War II. Now, W.T., or William Thomas Cosgrave, first president of the Executive Council of the Irish Free State, he was born at James Street, Dublin, in 1880, and in fact, they were publicans, they owned a pub. Now, after being a member of Sinn Féin, he parted company with that party when he supported the Anglo-Irish Treaty of 1921. When Arthur Griffith died and Michael Collins was shot in August 1922, he found himself in charge of Cumannagale and of the government. Now, Eamon Duggan, a lawyer and a nationalist, he died on June the 6th, 1936. Born in Longwood, County Meath, he was one of the five envoys sent to London to negotiate that treaty that I just referred to, the 1921 Anglo-Irish Treaty with Collins and Griffith and that group. He was elected to the Senate in 1933 and was the last citizen of the Irish Free State to take the famous or infamous Oath of Allegiance as a member of the Oireachtas. Just one or two more now. Novelist Elizabeth Bowen was born on June the 7th, 1899, at the famous Bowen's Court House, Kildarry, County Cork. She published about 12 novels, together with a number of essays and short stories. She considered her novel The Heat of the Day her best work. That was published in 1949. And back to politics again, politician Kevin O'Higgins. He was born in Stradbally, County Laois, on June the 7th, 1892. As a TD, he strongly supported the 1921, the famous treaty again. And when the Free State was established, he became Minister for Justice. And he signed for the execution of some 77 Republicans between 1922 and 1923. He himself, however, was shot dead by the IRA in 1927. And finally for today, Republican and Socialist Frank Ryan died on June the 10th, 1944. Limerick-born Ryan, he fought on the Republican side in our Civil War. A Republican, but very anti-fascist, he led 200 Irishmen to fight against General Franco in the Spanish Civil War in the 1930s. Okay, well, we move on now to our quiz. And again, I'm delighted with the response. We're getting to the quiz. There were a lot of entries this week. It's proving very popular. And as I say, all the questions are connected with our area of interest. And the purpose is to highlight the area and indeed to evoke your curiosity in matters concerning the area. We issue two questions each week and we invite your answers. The quiz is open to anyone, everywhere. We have had answers from Scotland, Spain and Canada. The prize for each week's winner is a book. And just in case there's any controversy, I have to state that in the event of any dispute, the decision of Dublin North Bay Tourism will be final and binding. Now, as well as announcing the questions on air, on the radio show, don't worry if you sort of missed them or whatever. We also published them on Instagram at Dublin North Bay Tourism. Or you can go to Facebook and search Dublin North Bay Tourism. And I stress that Dublin North Bay Tourism is one word, all one word, lowercase. And again, thanks to everyone for your ongoing interest in our programme and for your participation in the quiz. Now, last week's answers. The first question was, what am I question? I opened in 1949. I am the amalgamation of three schools, Mountjoy School, the Hibernian Marine School and the Bertrand and Rustland School. Well, that was, of course, Mount Temple Comprehensive School on the Malahide Road. And the second one was, from what did St. Anne's Park in Clontarf or Raheny get its name? Well, it got its name from the holy well St. Anne's, which is still there, even though it's dry now. And the well, for those of you familiar with the park, or even if you're not, if you go to the park and you go to the artificial lake or pond, it's just beside that lake. Now, this week's questions, we have a who am I and a what am I this week. So the first one is, who am I? For many years, I lived in the East Wall area. I suppose I was somewhat bitter, so I put it down in plays, a few of them classics, one causing clashes, and then I left to go abroad. Now I'll read that question again. Who am I? For many years I lived in the East Wall area. I suppose I was somewhat bitter, so I put it down in plays, a few of them classics, one causing clashes, and then I left to go abroad. Well, the literary among you shouldn't have much bother with that. The second one is, what am I? This is short. Monumental I stand with all five heads at a busy confluence of roads. I'll read it again. Monumental I stand with all five heads at a busy confluence of roads. So your answers before Wednesday, which will be the 18th, isn't it? Next Wednesday. You can Enter us on Instagram at Dublin North Bay Tourism. You can search Facebook, Dublin North Bay Tourism, and send it to us that way. Email us, dublinnorthbaytourism@gmail.com, or a letter or a postcard to 32 Howth Road, Clontarf. Now, as I say, all entries before next Wednesday, on or before next Wednesday, which is the 16th, is that what I said? And the winner will receive a copy of a book. And please don't contact the radio centre itself. Come straight to us. Okay, before we go into the main part of our programme, we'll stop for a little music. And online we should have a song, because we're talking about nostalgic Dublin at this time. And I'll go into that again afterwards. So, many of you will be familiar with the famous song, The Dublin Saunter. It was written by Liam Maguire. You'll remember Liam from his radio programmes all those years ago. He used to present the Waltons programme, and he always ended with the words, "If you feel like singing, do sing an Irish song." So here we have one of our own singing it, and that is Sonny Knowles and The Dublin Saunter.
I've been north and I've been south, I've been east and west, I've been like a rolling stone. But there's one place on this earth that I love the best, just a little spot I call my own. Dublin can be heaven with coffee at 11 and a stroll in Stephen's Green. There's no need to worry, no need to hurry, you're a king and the lady's a queen. Grafton Street's a wonderland, there's magic in the air, there's diamonds in the lady's eyes and gold dust in her hair. If you don't believe me, come and meet me there in Dublin on a sunny summer morning. I've been there, I've sought the rainbow's end, but no crock of gold I've found. Still I know that come what will, whatever fate may send, here my feet are firm on friendly ground. Dublin can be heaven with coffee at 11 and a stroll in Stephen's Green. There's no need to worry, no need to hurry, you're a king and the lady's a queen. Grafton Street's a wonderland, there's magic in the air, there's diamonds in the lady's eyes and gold dust in her hair. If you don't believe me, come and meet me there in Dublin on a sunny summer morning. If you don't believe me,
come. That's the famous Dublin Saunter with Sonny Knowles. Now, in last week's programme of Nostalgia, we talked about Dublin street characters. Street characters of old, that is, of yesteryear, helped by Eamon McComosh's book, as we call it, Me Jewel and Darlin' Dublin. Now, we defined a character as he or she who sees things differently and answers to the beat of a different drum, sometimes eccentric and with pronounced mannerisms and maybe peculiar ways. Now, one of the characters we mentioned was Bang Bang, or Thomas Dudley, who died in January 1981. And I forgot to mention that a cafe to commemorate him was opened in recent times at 59A, if you like, Leinster Street North. That's the Leinster Street in Phibsworth. There are two other Leinster Streets. One is in the north, the east wall, and the other is at Trinity College in City Centre. So it's the Phibsworth Leinster Street. Now, well, after last week's programme, I got an email from a gentleman reminding me that I didn't mention a character called Billy the Bowl. Now, B-O-W-L, that's the way this man's name was pronounced. It's Bowl, but Billy the Bowl he was called. Or Billy in the Bowl, rather. Now, this gentleman in his email also reminded me that I didn't mention any female characters. So, let me make amends. Now, Billy in the Bowl, his real name was Billy Davis. He was born without legs, and he used to sit in an iron bowl with the use of his powerful arms, he could push himself along the street in his bowl. Now, Billy Davis became too fond of drink and then started to rob people. He was, in fact, a small-time highway robber, and many victims never suspected him, as they assumed he was a harmless cripple going around begging. He spent several short terms of imprisonment in Newgate Jail, and one of the Dublin street ballads, The Twang Man's Revenge, which was sung by Zosimus, who I mentioned in the last programme, had the lines, "He took her out to Sandymount to hear the waters rowl," that's to rhyme with bowl, obviously, "and he won the heart of the twang man's ma, playing Billy in the bowl." Poor Billy, while robbing a man, he also killed the man while he was at it. A witness was present and saw Billy sliding away in his bowl. Billy was arrested, sentenced to life imprisonment, and he died in jail. Now, as for ladies' street characters, I'll give you two before I move on to something else. Now, All Parcels was a beggar lady who spent every day collecting waste paper. She would make it up onto several neat parcels and was a familiar sight, carrying her bundles round the streets of Dublin. Waste paper in those days, and we're talking about the 1930s in her case, was valuable, and a good sackful, usually made up of six parcels the way they were bound, it would be worth a few pennies each day. Children collected waste paper for picture money, but All Parcels collected them to keep herself alive. And another famous female character from the streets was a lady called Lillian McEvoy. Now, she was a Dublin street musician. One evening in 1932, she was spotted and heard by Fritz Kreisler. Now, you'll know Fritz Kreisler was the world-famous violinist. He was in Dublin for an engagement in the Theatre Royal. Now, Kreisler, who had spent his life helping good street musicians all over the world, he got Lillian a week's engagement in the Theatre Royal. That week, which took Lillian off the cold winter streets of Dublin, it was the start of a famous stage career, and Lillian never had to play in the streets again. She went to England and she married a man named Douglas. Now, many of you remember this. Her daughter, Shirley Douglas, followed her mother's stage tradition, and Shirley's famous record, Freight Train, which again I'm sure many of you will recall, it's very well known, to skiffle, especially to skiffle and folk music group fans. So that was the story of Lillian McEvoy. Now, while we're on the nostalgic theme, I'm going to devote the rest of the programme, whatever time we have left, talking about some Dublin street games, some of which you may have played as children. So we're in for more nostalgia. And again, I am indebted to Eamon McComosh. These games would be, I suppose, unrecognisable to today's children, who are immersed in and obsessed with their computers, their iPads, PlayStation, etc. So the first one we'll talk about is Follow the Leader. This was a dangerous game, particularly if you were at the end of the line. The leader started off and all had to follow in single file. Anything the leader did, the rest behind him had to do also. Now, this included knocking on doors, ringing bells, rattling ash bin lids, and by the time the last few got to the door, or ash bin, the owner was on the scene, and all these at the end of the line, they ended up with a few clouts on the ear or a kick up the backside. Another game was Kick the Can. This was another favourite, and it was probably invented for those who couldn't afford a football. Now, the boy on it stood by the can, and the others had to kick the can without the boy on it touching them. A lot of skill was required because some boys nearly sat on the can. Nevertheless, the can was often kicked up and down the road. The game usually ended with a good chase from some adult who became annoyed, and all was threatened to get of what we call the pullis. Adults chasing kids meant there was never a dull moment, and I suppose that kicking the can down the road is a term that had become taken up to mean something we put off until tomorrow. We just make some excuse and, as I say, kick the can further down the road. Now, whips and wooden tops, taw in the hole, which was marble sprayed like golf, catty, combo round towers, hide and seek, tip and dig, blind man's bluff, and hurling a football were all played on the road until you heard L-O-B, L-O-B. Now, L-O-B meant look out, boys. It's the cops. Some children call the cops, they call them police. Others call them peelers. Others call them rossers, which is a new one to me. And others call them pullis. Now, the local sergeant often arrived on his upstairs model of a bicycle with its weak carbine lamp. The L-O-B, which was the signal, look out, boys, rarely failed. And even if it did, there was always plenty of time to get away. The sergeant took about 10 minutes to get down off his bicycle, take the bicycle clips off his trousers, and put out his carbine lamp before proceeding with his notebook and his pencil. Well, that's surely scenes from days gone by. I think it'd be a squad car nowadays, wouldn't it? Now, card playing was another favourite. The main games were Rummy, Pontoon, 15s, 25s, Snap, Old Maid, Dawn, and Solo. Of these, Dawn was the most popular. It was played like this. The nine of trumps was known as Big Fat, and the five of trumps as Little Fat. You played it with partners in the manner you play whist. If you wanted your partner to head with a certain suit of cards, you would work the tip-off system. So in other words, if you wanted your partner to play spades, you'd say something like, I saw your father digging the garden today. If it was for diamonds you were calling, you'd say, Mary Murphy's getting married. Her fella gave her a lovely ring. If it was clubs, you'd start singing, the dear little shamrock, the sweet little shamrock. And if it was the hearts you were after, you'd put in your hand on your chest, you'd say, I got an awful pain there. Well, I suppose these were pretty primitive stuff, but it's surprising how it worked. And now I'll let Eamon McComosh himself explain the game, the next game, the one he loved most of all. Now, this is Eamon in his own words. My favourite game was pitch and toss, or up to the mutty, which was another form of pitch and toss. Now, morning, noon and night, I would play pitch and toss. I really loved it. Until the man next door told my mother that he saw me playing it, and that it was a very common game, as common as ditch water, he said, and that was a terrible insult, and so she should take me off the street and give up that game. But a common game. If I'd known that night what I know now, far from being a common game, it was in fact a royal game. It was started by King Edward III, and the piece of stick used to balance the two coins on before the toss, it got its name from Edward. They say this king got very angry when he lost at pitch and toss, and he used to throw down the tossing stick and say, feck it, feck it. Thereafter, the tossing stick became known as the feck stick, and it is still called that to this day. You put your two halfpennies onto the feck and toss them in the air. Heads you win, tails or harp you lose. Now, an American visitor once said that the Dublin people were the holiest people in the world. How come, asked his friend. Well, said the American, at every street corner in Dublin, the men stand around in circles. They all look up at heaven, and then they bow their heads to the ground and shout out, Good Christ, give us a head this time. Pitch and toss was not only a child's game, but was and still is a man's game. At one big pitch and toss school, I saw a man lose all his money and also his pony and trap, and he had to go home that evening on the crossbar of a friend's bicycle. Now, up the Matty was another game. Our Matty was a small square piece of white broken delf stuck into the black clay on the side of a footpath. And when the Corpo, Dublin Corporation, put concrete over this clay patch, we didn't change the game to up to the wall. You only need a halfpenny to enter the game, pitch it to the path, to the path wall, and the nearest halfpenny to the wall was the winner. And the winner also got the chance to toss the halfpennies for the next round. Now, my own version of that, when I grew up, we threw, and I know many people do, at what we called a bob, B-O-B. A bob was simply a medium-sized stone. You put the stone down, we all stood back maybe 10 yards or whatever, and you pitched your coin, and whichever was the nearest, obviously, got the first chance to toss. You gathered up all the coins, and you tossed each one up and down, heads or tails, you won some, you lost some. Then the person who was second kept on tossing the rest of the coins. He won a certain amount. The third person toss next, and so on until all the coins were gone. Well, those, and incidentally, that game, I understand, is one that's actually banned in Dublin for regarded as a serious gambling game. Well, the game I played long ago, God knows, I don't think I'd call it serious gambling. However, it looks like the old clock has caught up with us again. We might continue with some more of those games another occasion. But for the moment, as I say, as old Father Time taps us on the shoulder again, I'll remind you that if you want to contact us for any reason, we're at DublinNorthBayTourism@gmail.com, and our website is DublinNorthBayTourism.com. And you've been listening to the History and Community Show. I'm Dennis McIntyre, and for the moment, until we talk to you next week, I say, Slán go fóill.